Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
105.3 FM HD2. This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second chorus of the food show. And what we do around here is we talk about the food scene in New Orleans. And you know as well as I do that this is a big world. And the more so that you explore it, the happier you will find it makes you as you...
Makes you full.
That's right. That is true. You asked me a question while I was out of the room.
Yeah, what was that?
And it had to do with the La Cuisine, which was a restaurant in...
the Warwick Hotel.
And the guy was at the Warwick Hotel?
The person who asked the question said that he used to go to the Warwick Hotel and eat in the dining room there
and wondered
who the chef was and was suspecting that the chef at the Warwick Hotel back in the day was Goffredo.
Goffredo?
Wait, no, not Goffredo.
No.
Wait, La Cuisine? Are we talking about La Cuisine or La Riviera?
La Cuisine.
La Cuisine was...
I can't remember it either. It was two guys, and they kept swapping back and forth between each other in the restaurants that they operated. This I can tell you. If somebody was meeting somebody else at the Warwick Hotel, there was a deal going down, and because that was what the whole place was about. And then, but the place out in Lakeside.
No, that had La Cuisine.
La Cuisine, and there was another restaurant in the, well, Tony Angelo's, if you want to count that. But he, that was a terrific restaurant.
What, La Cuisine or Tony Angelo's?
Both of them. But the one I really enjoyed was
La Cuisine.
La Cuisine. They had lobsters. They had the best oysters done with garlic and olive oil and all that you see around a lot of Italian restaurants. Boy, they had that down perfectly.
You don't see that much anymore. You don't see the Italian oysters as much as you see char-grilled oysters.
I saw it last night and ate it, by goodness, at the...
Pelican Club?
The Pelican Club.
That wasn't Italian oysters. That was grilled oysters.
You could not.
I'm talking
call
about the kind of Italian oysters that you
oysters,
see, where you see them all stuffed into a little ramekin,
little casserole,
and they're covered
garlic,
with breadcrumbs
olives,
and garlic
oil.
Olive oil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't see that anymore.
Go to the Pelican Club.
Tom, that was char grilled oysters. That wasn't Italian
oysters. No, plenty close enough. They had it going.
It wasn't, folks, so don't go looking for that.
Char
grilled oysters is what you ate last night.
You know who else?
At the Pelican
who,
Club.
Well, Mosca's is kind of famous.
That's where you would get it. Or I think, does Vincent's have something like that?
That was the next one I was going to tell you. Vincent's has
but
always
been
strong.
You don't see it as ubiquitously as you used to. I used to see that a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that you don't see that kind of big bunch of oysters stuffed into a casserole and baked in the oven.
Mm.
I think maybe that's more of an old-fashioned dish, and the new-fashioned dish is char-grilled.
It is very definitely
Is that an oyster pan roast? What is an oyster pan?
Similar,
I would imagine Pascal's Manali has it.
They do, but what they do is a totally different thing.
What is an oyster pan roast?
An oyster pan roast, as I understood it, and the place where I was introduced to it was over at the Bon Ton, is that the waiter the chef would put butter, garlic, herbs, stick it in the oven, and sizzling it, and smelled really good.
Well, that's basically what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, that's why I said.
But it doesn't make any sense to call it an oyster pan roast.
Yeah, because it wasn't a pan roast. There was no pan. There was no roast.
Well, I guess roasted in the oven would make it.
But Manelli's, Pascal's Manelli, which is a restaurant I really like.
Yeah.
They had a dish called, exactly as you say, the...
Oyster pan roast?
Oyster pan roast. And what they had was looked like a light roux with a lot of, not ketchup.
Worcestershire?
No, no. It's coming to me in a second here. Parsley and I don't know.
Garlic about, butter?
And all of this was kind of put down in kind of a light bechamel, really, not a roux. And then you would bake this thing in the oven, and it was, but the way you get it now, it just sits there. To me, it's a good dish.
You know
why
I think that
taste.
Is? I think because the dish of the hour, meaning last 10, 15 years, the trendy dish is char-grilled oysters, and that's what you're used to seeing now.
Yep.
That has replaced the oyster pan roast and all of these oysters that are put into a casserole dish. That's old fashioned, and now char grills are new fashion. Now, I wonder, I'm trying to remember, does Pascal's Manelli also have char grilled oysters?
I don't think so. They make oysters Rockefeller and oysters Bienville.
See, again, these are the
great.
Older kinds of
old school.
I mean, these were all roasted in the oven, but now people are just saying, "Well, give me my char grilled with the garlic butter, and
they're
good."
They're different, yeah.
Yeah.
But and in any case, Manelli's, they had a totally stiff claim to what constituted an oyster loaf or roast or whatever they want to do it, because they've been around since 1913. That's about as long as anybody else.
Yeah, you can pretty much claim, you know, stake your claim with that,
yeah,
I would say.
Claim
for
your
sure.
stake, too. Don't forget about that.
Well, you
That's
do that.
So
at,
important.
Apparently, you do that at Doe's Eat Place. You claim your stake by going into one of those four rooms, opening up the refrigerator, and your stake. That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
If you want to have some fun, and if you have the time to do it, and you really want to waste a lot of time, go to a diary, not a diary, a library of dishes that have been in the newspapers, the local newspapers. We will name no names. The one that ain't there no more. Anyway, and look up in there, see if you can find
I wonder if you could even do this anymore. I mean, it would all be computerized now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no such thing as microfiche anymore, is there?
No, here is what I was getting to, but not very well. If there is an article in a newspaper, especially if it's a restaurant review, but something like that, you can bet that the headline says, Umpty Dump, whoever it is, stakes his claim, S-T-E-A-K. They all use the same headline for 20, 30 years. I don't know if I ever used it. So if you ever see that, say to yourself, this guy might be a good reviewer, but he's not very creative. And I don't have anything specific I'm talking about or who.
Okay.
But take a look at it. And every time, you know, there it is.
Stake your claim. Okay, stake your claim on corniness.
Yeah, there you are.
260-6368 is the number.
Is it a number?
We are staking our claim on nothingness. Yeah, I mean we're
real?
Just like talking about nothing here.
I don't know. This isn't.
I'm so crushed. I'm crushed.
Crushed by
that. No one needs my help to repurpose their leftovers.
Oh.
Which is a service I offer to provide, but no listener is taking us up on that, or me up on that, because they know better than to ask you about that.
Ask me about what?
About how to repurpose leftovers.
Oh.
All right, so now I'm going straight to your... When you start hearing the almanac, folks, that means...
We're going that, to leftovers.
That means that we are looking desperate.
No, that's not true. You know, we haven't.
No, I'm never
we've
desperate.
Hardly had any
no.
callers today. Where have
we
they
haven't
been?
Had any callers. That's my point.
We were very busy yesterday. We were very busy the day before.
Clearly, we have not motivated anyone to call.
We have not motivated them. So maybe
this is a boring show.
No, let's not. You know.
No, it's the audience that's fickle, actually. It's,
yeah.
It has to be
Jiminy
that, right?
Cricket is a thank you.
You're
thank
welcome.
You.
Now, we
better.
Do have national days today before you get to the
oh,
holiday.
Let's hear it, Doug. Oh. What is it?
First of all, it's National Father-in-Law's Day.
Okay.
It is
Boy,
also.
I'm glad I never had one of those.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is National Whistleblower's Day.
Hmm. Now,
and
who would that be?
Finally.
Yeah.
It is National Cheesecake Day.
Cheesecake.
Now you're talking.
How do you want your cheesecake? There are many ways you can get your cheesecake. You can have it very light, puffy. You can get it very heavy, very sweet. You can put things stuffed in between layers of it. What's your taste in this?
I prefer leftovers.
I like Cheesecake
leftovers.
Factory
Doug
cheesecake.
Says later. Leftovers?
Cheesecake leftovers. Yeah.
Shut up, Doug.
Cheesecake leftovers. Now that's intriguing. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you repackage that is what I want to know.
Put it in the blender, heat it up, put it in the blender, and then refreeze it or put it back in the refrigerator. Mm. All kinds of different flavors together.
My favorite cheesecake is, I'm sorry, Tom, I beg your forgiveness on this because it's not yours.
Oh, well.
I love your cheesecake. You have a great cheesecake.
I'm not all that crazy about cheesecake.
Yeah. Well, I like it well enough. And I, as a matter of fact, I like it actually a lot. But the Godiva cheesecake at Cheesecake Factory is the best. Now, today is National Cheesecake Day. Doug, is that right? Because I'll bet you that the Cheesecake Factory is giving away a slice of cheesecake if you go over there. Rats, if I had known that, I would have stopped in there. Let me see if they have that on the website, that the Cheesecake Factory is going to give away a slice of cheesecake, because they used to do that on National Cheesecake Day. And if I had known that, I would have stopped there on my way home, because I love their cheesecake.
Well, if you're listening to us and you like cheesecake,
I'm going to look this up
access.
For you right now, people.
Remember
actually,
the
they say right now that you can have the pineapple upside down cheesecake or whatever at half price.
Oh.
Wait, it said that at Cheesecake Factory?
It does.
Well, wait a second. I don't want their pineapple cheesecake. I want their Godiva cheesecake.
Doesn't matter whichever one it is that you like. You can have that. For half
oh,
price
you can.
Today, any
okay,
slice,
so you
half
do
price.
Get the...
Dine in today only. If you only you got to dine in, okay?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh, now it used to be where you got a free one. So half price, they've changed it. I guess too many people were going to get it. Hmm. Well, that is too bad. I'm going to have to tell Mary Lee about that, because she would go and get some. Hmm. Then she can bring home the leftovers.
Mary Lee
for me.
likes.
We love Cheesecake Factory. Cheesecake. Do you love the Cheesecake Factory, folks? Because
you're talking about that restaurant.
Yeah.
The chain restaurant.
The Cheesecake Factory. The chain restaurant.
Yeah.
Tom says it like it's
chain,
like they're
chain,
serving.
Chain.
Like they're serving, you know, stuff you don't want to eat. Cheesecake Factory. Yes. If you go over there today, thank you, Doug, for that. Half price, but you have to eat in.
Mm.
You know what I like at Cheesecake Factory? I like their little sliders.
Do you?
They have on the appetizer menu, they have sliders. And the sliders are huge. I'll tell you that right now. Yep. They're not, they're like four hamburger size sliders, which is a huge portion. You could split it with a bunch of people.
I remember when they first opened that place, that one of them.
You were probably horrified, I'm sure.
I couldn't believe it. Anyway, they were talking about it a lot and making a big fuss over it.
Because it's a big deal.
It was a big deal, and the fact that it was in our number one
shopping mall. Well, you know why? Because Lakeside is one of the most profitable malls in the United States.
Is that true?
Yep.
Hmm. Well,
it's right up there in the top. And that's why you're seeing the kinds of places come in here that you are seeing, because it's a good place to be.
Well, I went there expecting, because, you know, there are some of these chain restaurants that actually are easily clever enough to keep it all rolling and make it interesting and being so. And my daughter, she loved it, of course. And did you like it?
Of course.
Uh-huh. And but for me, I'd go and I'd say, okay, when does this actually start? But the only thing that ever impressed me a lot was they tended to have pretty good soups. But beyond that, it was just really ordinary to me.
And this is why we always leave you home, Tom. you always wonder this. This is why we always leave you home.
So what you're telling me is we'll like you as a friend again if you'll put up with our thoughts.
No, what I'm saying is let you come and eat like that at places like that if you weren't always yammering about it.
I used to go over there and just keep my mouth shut, just with trying to.
And don't believe that for a second, folks. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. Today is National Cheesecake Day, so half price cheesecake at the Cheesecake Factory. Right. I also like their guacamole.
You may try it.
They have good guacamole. You can get it spicy, and it's good. As a matter of fact, I think the Cheesecake Factory has good just about everything. It's incredibly American across the board, and I won't say bland because I do think it's good, but it's a good version of just a ridiculous amount of American dishes.
And why
it's an enormous menu.
Why do we call it a New York cheesecake? What is there about New York? What in a cheesecake is about New
York? Well, doesn't everything want to be New York? I mean, not me, but doesn't everything want
to
be
New York? I remember going to a place in New York once that made a big fuss over its cheesecake. But
I thought you were going to say over its New Yorkedness.
Steven is here, and he will probably tell us something.
Hi, Steven.
Yes. I've been actually making notes today, and I have about 10 things to talk about.
All
I did
right.
talk to Gregory yesterday, so we're going to get together and go to dinner.
Okay.
Also, Breyers ice cream is for sale at Winn-Dixie this week. Buy one, get one free. I know you want Tom to only eat Breyers ice cream.
It's very good.
That's actually also, good to know. Thank you very much, Stephen.
I figured, yeah. Okay. I was in Walmart, and I don't normally go to their frozen seafood section, but I happened to. And I noticed they had frozen oysters on the half shell.
Who was doing
so
this?
I guess
Walmart.
Walmart.
It can be
frozen
done.
Oysters.
It,
yes.
it can be okay. done, but it to me, it goofs up the texture of it.
Yeah, I tried freezing oysters myself, and I don't recommend it.
Yeah, okay. And seafood lasagna. How would you put oysters or shrimp in a lasagna and cook it for 45 minutes and still have them palatable?
Yeah, they're just, it falls apart.
I don't think it's so much shrimp. I think it's more of a crab meat thing.
Oh, okay. Crab meat, I guess.
I think most seafood lasagna is heavy on the crab meat. And maybe the shrimp is in the sauce that you would get napped over it or something.
Yeah. And I had dough at Girolando's, and I just thought it was great. I don't know how you ate it all.
It's impossible to eat it all. I mean, lasagna, translated into Italian, is too much food. That's the name.
Yeah. It wasn't lasagna, it was dough.
Dope.
It was dope.
I have a dog who gets all that stuff.
Oh.
Yeah, and there was another, the place out in Kenner in Old Town that doesn't have a liquor license wonderful dope
Gendusa?
Special.
Gendusa.
Yeah.
We ran into him last night at the Pelican Club.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's really great, and it's a big hunk of, bigger than a person's hand. Of brisket, I guess.
And it's good. Do you like it better than the Girolando's version?
No, I think I like the G. Orlando's version.
Do you like Gendusa's? Do you like it?
Yeah. I've had a problem sometimes with their pasta that, you know, you get the red water with it, so they're not straining it appropriately in the back, which aggravates me to no end.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, and I mean, you know, we have to, you know, go to whatever Tom says, you know, just like James Beard, you know, now
I
that
wish.
James Beard's dead, Tom has taken his place. So whatever Tom says goes.
Well, I know that's what I always say.
Hey, laugh all you want.
All right.
We do every day. Okay.
Have you gone through your list of 10?
Pretty much. So.
All right, Stephen. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Thank you, Gracie. Bye-bye.
Bye. 260-6368 is the number. 260-MENU. You are listening to 105.3 WWL FM HD2, where all we talk about is food.
Yeah, and it sounds good, too. It sounds a lot better than any other radio station on the air these days. All you need is to get an HD radio, huh? What are you pointing your finger at?
I don't know. I keep throwing that to Doug, and you keep talking, so I don't know. I don't know if we're in a.
Hello there. Welcome back. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you, talking about food and restaurants and everything. And we'd love to hear from you any way you want to do it. We love all kinds of food, except bad food. And if you've got good food to tell about, everybody would be very happy to hear about it from you. You'd be amazed. Our program is sponsored by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. I remember when they first opened up, I thought, you know what? What do we need a big place like that serving hamburgers for? What is that? Don't we need real food? And then I went there. And I came back with one other comment, and that is, you know, they really need to use a hotter grill for this, because I knew at that time that fast food restaurants, typically, they were cooking at such low temperature rates that they would come out kind of fluffy and sometimes a little oily. I mentioned this to one of the guys that owned the place, and he said, you know, you might be right. We're not sure, but we're going to try it. So they did try it, and I don't know if it was my doing or not, probably not, but they made that change, and it has been great ever since. And that is true both for the hamburgers, which come out nice and crusty on the outside, but also when you get into the seafood part of it, you know, things like fried catfish and fried oysters and shrimp and all of that, it is all done to order. They're not doing this underneath a heat lamp or anything like that. It wasn't done yesterday. And it's a good combination of all the things that you and I love to eat around in New Orleans, involving more and hotter and better seafood and great hamburgers all the time, too. There are 10 locations around town, and there is also one or two where you can go and taste just how good it can get.
Char-grilled oysters,
that's right. That's what I forgot.
Yeah.
Thank you for picking that up.
10 locations around town.
That's the one.
New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood.
260-6368. Anybody have any? You know, we never talk about those restaurants, the sponsored restaurants that want to, you know, they talk about how they're crackly exteriors of their hamburgers. We are, you know, that's something to be.
What do you want to say? Anybody want to talk about New Orleans hamburgers? Steven does, but I don't want to hear about that.
No, me neither. 260-6368. We briefly talked about La Riviera. Not La Cuisine. La Cuisine. Do you remember that place?
I don't. I only went once or twice. You were a big fan of it when I came into the picture, and I think
I loved it.
Did it end with Katrina?
It did.
Okay. Yeah. So then
let's see,
Katrina would have been half our marriage, the halfway point. So I didn't really go very much before that because, you know, you pretty much dine by yourself, and I was here with the kids. So I only went occasionally to these restaurants, and I went to La Cuisine maybe once or twice. I'm trying to remember the name of the owner of that, the owner
me
chef.
Too.
It's probably it was in a here. It's probably right here in the eat book, so let's have a look and see.
Have fun. I tried, and I didn't see it, but it's probably around somewhere.
I'm sure somebody knows Joe who it was.
There were two guys, and they kept switching back and forth between two restaurants. One of them was this restaurant on Tulane Avenue, about three, 4 blocks.
It was Lee. Was it Lee something?
Lee was his name, but it wasn't L-E-E. It was, it'll come to me in a minute. And he was a very experienced restaurateur and ran quite a few of them over the years. Lee?
I think it begins with a B, doesn't it?
Yeah, something like that. He was famous for his wine picks and his combinations. There was this terrific chef there who...
Leet Bouillon.
Leet Bouillon, that's yes. Exactly right. Where did you get that?
I'm looking at the Eat book.
Oh, good for you. Leet Bouillon, right. It wasn't spelled exactly like bouillon, little variants in the. But he could cook. And one day I was in there having lunch, and he sat down with me at his table, at my table. And he said, so, you know, telling everybody it's my birthday. I said, is it your birthday? He said, yeah, I'm 91 years old.
Oh, wow.
And I said, oh, come on. You're just putting people on. Turns out he was 91 years old.
That's fantastic.
And he stayed with them for a long time until Katrina came along, and then he retired forever. But I'm glad you reminded me of his name.
Wait, Leet Bouillon was 91?
L-E-T-E. Yeah, 91. And he said he was in World War II.
How much longer did he live?
I don't know.
Because that had to have been, he might have made it past 100.
He may have. He was very with it. He was not stupid or crazy or pathetic or anything. He was just a great guy. And he ran great, great restaurants.
260-6368. You know what, Tom? I'm looking at this book, the Eat book, and realizing that this is like a Lost Restaurants book. I love it.
You know what else there was as a result of things at that restaurant?
What's that?
A little bit of, let's see, what's the word I want to use?
I'm afraid to ask. I'm terrified to ask. As you linger longer... I'm terrified to ask. Why don't we take a break and we'll talk about it off the air.
Let's do that.
You are listening to WWL FM 105.3 HD2.
Don't ask me. I won't dance. Don't ask me. I won't dance, madame, with you. Oh, there were people here listening to that. I'm sorry. 260-6368.
Look at you. Good.
Here we are. We love talking about food. We talk about wine and cocktails. Last night, went to the...
Almost scared me out of my chair.
Yeah. The Pelican Club, which is one of my favorite restaurants.
Yes.
And it was the time to do it, and there we were, and I asked him for a Manhattan, which is one of my favorite drinks. The more I drink them, the more I like them. So I order one. It comes out. The waiter, I just walk up to him. I said, this is the best Manhattan cocktail I think I've ever had, and he was pleased to hear that, and I said, I'm going to publish that all over the place. So get some plenty of some sweet vermouth and some rye whiskey and also some plain old bourbon, and we'll have some fun with this. And it was sure good. It's the Food Show, 260-6368.
You know what I think of when I think that you're going to order a Manhattan?
You'll take Manhattan.
I think that's what I'm about to hear.
Staten Island too.
Now it's metastasized into something even worse, which is you do a few lines for the waiter who doesn't really know what to do but stand there. Mm. And then when he thinks it's over, he walks away. But I notice now that you're also going to the bartender to sing it.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
they
sure.
They don't mind. They get extra action out of that.
Yeah. I love it.
Well, you know, yesterday I ran into, this is not worth talking about. Yeah. Never mind. 260-6368. We need one or two more people to call.
So
to make
I'm
a
wondering
good
while
today.
We're at the break, I'm wondering if the show has been so
slow.
Uninteresting, such prattle, that we haven't even inspired any calls besides Stephen, who's going to call anyway. If the show has been so mesmerizing that people just can't figure out if they should call to stop our train of thought. I know it's not the second one. Don't worry. I know it's not the second one. Anyway, we can go back to talking about the Pelican Club, though, because that was a good dinner. And the Pelican Club is always wonderful. And we had the culinary, which is one of the best culinaries in town. You know what you should have done?
Mm. Tell me.
I think that you should have gone ahead and ordered the masala?
Nescacholi.
The masala, whatever it was that you were looking at. And then
masala.
The waiter did not get excited about it, and so you ordered the lamb instead. But I think you should have followed your instinct, because what you wanted was to try that masala, whatever.
Masala?
Yeah, there was an Indian dish, because you know the Hugheses love Indian food.
Yeah, that was a good idea, but the
why
waiter...
Didn't you, I know, but why didn't you trust your instinct? Because maybe he just doesn't like Indian food.
Well, there were other things on the menu that looked very intriguing. So, but I'm going to go. Yeah, Indian food, I love Indian food.
Yeah, I still haven't made it to Saffron Nola.
Saffron Nola? Well, go. You make a reservation.
Okay.
It's tough.
Okay.
Sometimes.
All right, I'll do that. So I had crab cake, as always.
Always lucky.
I was of two minds about that.
Yeah.
It was not the crab cake that I remember the Pelican Club doing. And I'm wondering if it was a special crab cake culinary edition where instead of it just being the crab cake by itself on a plate, if they introduce the very large fried green tomato and the frisée salad. And I'm not a big fried green tomato fan, so I didn't eat the fried green tomato, but the frisée salad was absolutely spectacular. But it was not what I pictured when I ordered it. And that's sometimes really bad, but in this case it wasn't, because what I got was really good. But it's just like you have a mental image of something, and then what shows up at the table is not that.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are restaurants like that, especially the ones that do a pretty good volume, that can happen a little bit. But I don't know. But that restaurant must be perfectly to my taste, because I just love going there.
Well, let's see. You got the lamb.
Uh-huh.
Which you said you were a little disappointed in.
Yeah, a little bit. And you know what? I'm going to have to print out some cards or something. The chefs of New Orleans and America, we could go ahead and say, they believe that to be a fully indoctrinated chef, that they must be able to put things out that are kind of rare in the middle and brown on the outside. There are a lot of meats that are good that way. I eat steak that way. I eat raw steak. I eat raw fish. There's a bunch of things that I have no problem eating raw. But I really don't like lamb that's been grilled or broiled such that it comes out on the rare to medium rare side when the same exact meats gone a little bit farther are incomparably better. And I've noticed that mostly with lamb and also with duck. I find duck to be that way as well, especially if it's a big duck. So you chefs out there, you can't automatically assume that everybody likes undercooked food. I mean, well, what's undercooked
for you? Well, the problem is you have to order it the way I order it. I order it like this.
But you have that right.
Well, so do you. I mean, I say when I order a steak someplace, I say, I would like you to cook it I would like you to cook it more than you are otherwise inclined to, period. And if it comes back less than that, then I reiterate that request send it back.
It does come up that where I go to a place and I order something along those lines, and somehow it just veers off.
Well, here's what you have to remember. You're paying for it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You should be able to get it the way you want it.
Get what you want.
Right. You know? Mm-hmm. Especially at, you know, things like lamb prices or, you know, other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't have that problem because everybody knows I like everything overcooked.
You do? For everything? I mean, everything completely?
Pretty much. Yeah. Can you think of anything else? I would say can you, but you probably can.
No, I can't.
Yeah.
No, not off the top of my head like this.
Yeah. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number.
Sarah Torrey McPhail's, but you know we should have called him for his birthday. What's the matter with me? I wonder if we can still try to get that away. We have another.
Probably not even in town.
He's probably not.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's in town in the summer in New Orleans.
Torrey McPhail is the executive chef of Commander's Palace. Super nice guy. Really, really great chef. Restaurant, of course, I hardly need to tell you about it. But there it is.
What does a chef like that do for their birthday?
Leave the building, I would.
Yeah, I would imagine he's probably out of
it's
town.
His
that
day,
would be
yeah.
That would be my guess that he's out of town. They also have that picnic and provisions place.
That place? I don't get that. I've been there twice, and there are people who say they really like it and it's fun with families and all this. But I keep looking at it, and in some cases I keep ordering it, and I wonder, what is this?
Well, I thought thought that about it at first, and I'm warming to it, although I'm not going to warm to the margarine ever.
No?
No, I don't think anyone should ever be serving margarine, and certainly not unapologetically.
Yeah,
I find that kind of shocking in 2019. I don't care how delectable the biscuit / cornbread is.
Let's not forget
and
that.
It is indeed delectable, but I just find like I can't really focus on how yummy it is if I know that it's been cooked with margarine.
Uh-oh.
Chef
well,
Andrea.
Speaking of wanting to know.
Speaking of Chef
what?
Andrea. Hi, Chef Andrea.
Hi, Donna. Beautiful. How are you, Marion?
We're here just waiting for you.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you. I'm glad to be with you. I always look forward to talk to you and Tom. And what a pleasure to talk about food, my favorite subject, wine, and, of course, much more, as you know. There's something else, the music, of course, because I love music. And that's the Song of the Sea. It's so beautiful that, you know, you talk about food, wine, and singing. Unbelievable. Can beat that. And
there
Tom is good at it. So, yeah, today we have, as usual, we have three
Imagine
small
that.
Plates and a glass of wine.
Yeah.
And it goes for $33. But don't forget, you know, one thing is, I don't know, we talked about that. We have a early sunset menu, three-course meal for $25. And as you know, we have a
That's
culinary.
That's a great deal.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You have a wonderful fresh fish, fresh veal. You have a double pork chop. You have lots of wonderful choices to choose from. You have super salad and you have desserts. And it goes until 6:15. You can't beat that. And then you have three small plates all night long. And, of course, we have some special menu items that we do. Like today's Tuesday. And I love American lamb. It's a wonderful lamb shank ossobuco, which I enjoy that. Yes, I love that. It's one of my guest favorite too. You know, it's wonderful.
That's from up north in England, isn't it? I mean, in Ireland. Listen to me.
American lamb.
No, I was really thinking of like.
Not a part of Italy.
Northern part of Italy. Yeah.
Yeah. Abruzzi. Wonderful. There's a lot of wonderful lamb there that we do dishes there. Abruzzi and Molise is really a nice region of Italy that we feature sometimes for the regional menu, and really great dish. But this is a wonderful, also in Tuscany, there's a wonderful lamb there. A lot of people don't realize that Italy's got some great meat, beef and veal, of course, you know, and then, of course, the lamb, and much more. You know, we have a really nice variety beside many other things. But that's a wonderful lamb. I love braising orange juice very slowly with all kinds of vegetables, and then I served choice. You can have garlic mashed potato, you can have angelia, aglio olio, you can have fettuccine, you can have pappardelle. So a wonderful dish. But this, I really enjoyed that. But also we have some fresh mai mai, which I love
mai,
this fish.
Mai.
Mai mai. I love mai mai. This is one of my cousins. I enjoy that very much.
We don't see that fish around too much anymore. It used to be very common. It is very easily
cooked, seared,
and also it's renewable.
Yeah, it's true.
The more of those fish are grown in the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean than we sell and eat. So it's going to last a long time.
True. And also, Tom, I have your favorite, the king of the sea, the pompano, yeah.
The king of the sea.
The king of the sea.
Another kook who's calling it that, huh?
No, you.
I love pompano. And then I have the queen of the sea, which is a Dover sole, where people from all over the world come here. And I just kind of compliment them today at lunchtime. The gentleman says, my favorite fish. I love the way you cook it. Dover sole, where people from the French Quarter come here. They have a Dover sole with people all over the country. Really wonderful. It's another wonderful, healthy fish. And then I have a U10 sea scallop. This is a huge U10 sea scallop with a saffron risotto, arborio rice with saffron. I love that. It's one of my favorite dishes, too. These are some of the special this evening, and I'd like to share with you and your listener. And please come and join us. It's raining. Come underneath the accache. And we're going to park the car for you. If you don't get wet, you know, we have umbrella, of course.
How is the rain over there today? It's been really
ferocious
down here.
It was drizzling just a minute ago, pouring down downtown. But here's it drizzling a little bit. But it's been raining. So if in case you rain, you want to come right in front of the restaurant, and we're going to park for you.
Yeah, I can see the waiters now saying, wow, would you look at that idiot out on the sidewalk?
No, I parked the car for the guests. I did.
No, they're very nice about that.
Absolutely, we do.
You know, you don't talk about this too much, but I know that if someone comes to you and says, we have 8 people who are going to dinner, do you think you could find us a limo? And the next thing you know, Chef Andrea will have a limo for you.
Yes, we do. We have a pickup tonight. We have 6 people tonight. They come for dinner, we pick them up, and of course, complimentary, we'll bring it back.
Huh.
And it's enjoyable.
Well, that's mighty nice of you to bring back the limo car.
Absolutely. Do that. You know, it's like a wonderful an extra mile for our guests that we enjoy dinner for years. Always, I said, my home is your home.
Wait,
and I mean, my home is your home.
Yes.
Thank you. Glad to be with you. Miren, Tom, love to have you. Always a pleasure. This is Andrea, and the phone number is 834-8583. Molte grazie. Ciao, arrivederci a tutti. Ciao, bella. Arrivederci.
Ciao. Have a good evening, Andrea. You know, he was talking about mahi-mahi and
mahi-mahi.
All those fish, and I was thinking about the chopino that Pete Kusiv made at the lake house over the weekend, which was absolutely scrumptious.
Oh, I missed this.
Pete Kusiv at Lake House, who's one of the good ones, one of the really good chefs, had brought you out a chopino. And I don't normally eat such things, but this was really good. It was kind of a paella.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess they're really related, but it was a brothy stew, but he had a lot of rice in it too. Hmm. And it was really good. I mean, I couldn't stop eating it.
Well, that's what we do this show to look for, is to find out things like that that nobody knows about yet.
Yeah, there were clams in it. No, there were mussels in it. Mussels, crab.
Mussels this year have been wonderful, really big, really meaty. Unless you pick up the first two and it's just like a paste that's stuck to the inside, don't get those. But if they're nice and meaty, you can eat like 20, 30, 40, 50. I don't know what my limit is. I love them. Mussels. Do you like mussels?
I'm not even sure I've ever had a mussel.
No? Well, do you like oysters?
No, not really.
You don't like
oysters? I eat oysters. I do. Yeah. I eat them char-grilled, and I eat them fried, but I never eat a lot of oysters. I have sort of maybe a 5-oyster limit. Hmm. So I can't say that I do. And I don't think that I would bother with the trouble to eat mussels, mm-hmm. which do seem kind of a lot of trouble.
It seems like a lot of trouble, but it's a lot of trouble in the same way that eating crab meat fingers, you know.
I love crab fingers, and I do go through that trouble because I really like them. I mean, I like crab anything pretty much. I used to pick crabs, and sometimes I do just for the nostalgia of it. Like, I'll go to Mandeville Seafood, which is a great seafood market, and I'll get their salmon. And I'll sometimes, while I'm standing there waiting for them to cut the salmon, I will see behind the person that there are boiled crabs, and they're called, what are the ones that are, they're not really big enough to sell, it's not a she crab, no, that's not it. There are crabs that are sort of not as good as, they're not fat. What do they call those crabs? The ones that are not fat, and so they're really
skinny.
Cheap.
Skinny.
There's a name for them, and they charge much less for them. Like, you can get them for like $1 or $1.50 a piece. And so I'll say, oh, you know what? Let me just do that just for the fun of it. And so it's really not all that much fun to pick crabs, like, not really at all. But I do like to eat crabs like that sometimes. I like to pick them myself and eat them. It reminds me, it's a very nostalgic thing. It reminds me of crabbing when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, that still goes on a lot in some parts of the
world.
Does
it really? Because I don't really see many people doing it. And maybe it's that I'm not looking for it, but I know that that was something, I won't say we did it a lot, but it was sort of part of my growing up experience, too.
Where would that have been?
On Bayou St. John, maybe? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, and they had...
Right, no, by the lake, where it
yeah,
empties
I know exactly
into the lake,
where
by those bridges at Robert E. Lee, uh-huh. around there.
Yeah.
Right there.
Hmm. Who would have guessed?
Yeah.
That would have seemed different.
What, that I would do that, or that anybody would do that?
That you don't see those, you know, too much in city.
No, you don't. And,
you don't.
And but that was, we're talking a long time ago,
yeah.
you know? I mean, I was a kid, so we're talking a long time ago, and I think that people did that a little bit more. I never see that now. I mean, I never see it. But then, you know, there's a lot of stuff that I did as a kid that I don't see too much. When we
and
were out,
ain't it a good thing that that's true?
Well, no, not really, because it's funny. You know, there's a sort of a socioeconomic thing ascribed to certain things. Like, I remember when I was a kid, we used to go to the park and feed the ducks. And then I dated
fun.
This guy from Beverly Hills, and he was stunned to hear me say that. He said, what do you mean you fed the ducks? I said, we'd go to the park and feed the ducks. But that's the kind of thing that people at certain levels on the socioeconomic chain don't ever have experiences like that. Like, when we were there at the park when Jude was here, we took the train and we saw families out there barbecuing, you know, large groups of families. Now, that's something I did when I was growing up with a big family, but I haven't done it since. So
boom, boom,
it's different.
Boom, boom.
Anyway, most bizarre show today.
I'd say so. Not one of our greatest ones, but
no, definitely not.
You can't expect
no.
The
they
whole
come
thing.
And they go. They come and they go. And anyway, this one's going.
Yeah,
this one's going. Have a wonderful evening.
Talk to you tomorrow.
WWL FM 105.3 HD2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.